You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. I am Patricia Traina. I write for The Athletic, Inside Football, Forbes, Sports Exchange, Big Blue View, and a bunch of other places. Joined, as always, by my co-host Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, and we are continuing to count down the days until the start of New York Giants training camp. The Giants rookies will report on Monday the 22nd. The full team reports on Wednesday the 25th, and today Ed and I will be continuing our breakdown of the various positions, and I think we are up to linebackers today, right, Ed?
Yes, we are, Patty, and you know, I don't know about you, but I'm getting fired up. I mean, a lot of good content these days at Big Blue View, a lot of good stuff that you've been producing. We're getting really, really close to football, and it's just starting to feel like that time again, and I'm getting excited about it.
I am too, and I still have plenty more stuff coming your way, folks. Working on a couple of exclusives that I'm really excited about, just trying to work out the scheduling if at all possible, and I can't wait to really jump in full-time again and start bringing you guys interviews, observations, and all the other good stuff that you've come to rely on, Ed and myself, over the years. So with that said, Ed, let's jump into our review of the linebackers, and a very unusual offseason for the linebacker position in a couple of respects, starting with the fact that, you know, due to a scheme change going to the 3-4, the Giants added to the linebacker group from actually taking, you know, some former defensive ends or guys who were primarily defensive ends and converting them to linebackers. The other thing, of course, the Giants did, Dave Gettleman did, is he finally showed some love to the position, brought in Alec Ogletree, brought in Kareem Martin, drafted Lorenzo Carter, basically made over the whole linebacker unit.
Isn't it amazing? You know, for the first time in a long time, we actually get to talk about the Giants having shown some love to the linebackers rather than, you know, sitting here before a season starts and trying to figure out how they're going to piecemeal the position together.
I know. I'm not sure I'm used to this now. I'm not sure how I'm going to break this down, but no, just kidding. I've already broken it down for The Athletic, and I think I can break it down. But you know what was interesting, Ed, is that if you look at the current roster, I think there's only four guys, Herzlick, Goodson, Munson, and Ray Ray Armstrong, who were retained from last year's roster. You know, Devon Kennard moved on to Detroit. Jonathan Casillas and Keenan Robinson weren't signed. Kelvin Shepard wasn't re-signed. They got rid of a couple of other, you know, guys who served at that. I mean, you are talking a total makeover of that unit, which is pretty amazing.
It is kind of amazing, Patty, but it needed to be done, especially when you're talking about the scheme change and the change in defensive philosophy. You know, you bring in James Betcher, you go 4-3 hybrid, multiple defense, you know, much more than the 4-3 that had been played previously. You need a different kind of player and you need a different kind of energy. I'm really looking forward, and we'll dive into it a little bit more. We talked about it a little bit the other day in talking about the defensive line. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how Olivier Vernon, you know, transitions to standing up a whole lot more, to see, you know, just how much the Giants expose him in pass coverage. I'm really looking forward to seeing how Lorenzo Carter develops on the other side. So, you know, really interesting to see how this linebacker group comes together as the season goes along.
Okay, so then let's start breaking it down. We can start with the outside guys. Vernon, Kareem Martin is projected to be the other outside linebacker. And, of course, Lorenzo Carter, the third-round pick, or one of the third-round picks, is going to work his way into the mix as well. So, if you don't mind, Ed, I'll start on this one. First off, you know, when we talk about the role role that Vernon is going to play, it's not really a true defensive end. It's not really a true outside linebacker. I think the term that's making the way around the industry these days is edge rusher. And it's a role that Vernon, I think, is going to do very well in. And I mentioned this, you know, briefly the other day when we talked about the defensive line. But when you look at Olivier Vernon, he's not your typical prototype as far as size for a defensive end, meaning that, you know, he's going to give you a good, you know, effort. He's going to battle against offensive tackles. But where he's really at his best is when he's turned loose and able to just shoot into the gaps or shoot around the offensive tackles and disrupt the backfield. And I just thought that, you know, in the couple of years he's been with the Giants so far, by asking him to engage and mix it up in the pit, again, not that he's not capable of doing it, but I just didn't feel that was the best use of his particular talents, especially that quick first step that he has.
Sure, Patty. And the other thing about him, you know, standing up more often, and yes, you know, we both know that we'll see him with his hand in the ground some when the Giants are in nickel and you know, when they're in certain pass rushing situations. But the thing for me is I think this is a role that may keep him healthier, may keep him fresher, because he won't be, you know, taking the pounding as much from the defensive tack or from the offensive tackles. So I'm really excited to see how he transitions to this role. I think it could be a really, really good one for him.
And I think that's an excellent point there, because, you know, in the 2 years he's been with the Giants, the poor guy's had a couple of injuries. He had the broken wrist in 2016 that he gutted through. He sprained the ankle last year that cost him 4 games, broke his streak of never missing a pro game. And you go back and you look at what he did in Miami, and Miami used him, I think, a little bit more like Betcher was planning to use him, you know, as a stand-up edge rusher. And, of course, you know, he was very effective. He had, I think it was a career high. I want to say it was 11 and a half sacks. It was double digits. The only year he had double-digit sacks. And just, I think it's going to be a better use of his talent. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, unleashing the beast, as they say. Let's swing over to the other side. Kareem Martin, who comes over from the Arizona Cardinals. So he's obviously familiar with Betcher's scheme. And Lorenzo Carter, of course, is going to get some snaps at that side, I believe. What do you see, or what, you know, what did you see from both of those guys in the spring?
Well, I think we both saw with Kareem Martin, I think we saw the reason why the Giants brought him in. Not only is he an ascending player, a guy who had his best year last year, you know, he may not be a great player, but he's going to be a very good player to have on this defense, because he does have some talent, because he knows this system, and because he understands that part of the reason he is with the Giants is to help the rest of his teammates learn and understand what it is that James Betcher wants, what it is that he's trying to teach. And that's important when you're changing schemes, when you're changing coaching staffs. It's important to have a guy, you know, who knows what the head coach wants and can help carry that message, can help teach that defense, you know, to the guys in the locker room. As for Lorenzo Carter, you know, I know the Giants were thrilled to get Lorenzo Carter. I think they may have considered trading up for him or even taking him in the second round had things worked out differently in the draft. But I look at the Giants, and we've talked about this before, other than Olivier Vernon, I don't see a lot of proven pass rushers, a lot of guys who can just, you know, come off the edge and beat guys one-on-one. Lorenzo Carter is a guy that the Giants are putting their hopes in, you know, who can develop into that role. So I'm very anxious to see how he develops, because you have to love the physical skill set.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's going to take some time for him to get his feet wet. I think they're going to bring him along, you know, at a reasonable pace. But, you know, the key is not to heap too much on the kid's plate. only because, you know, you don't want to overwhelm them. You want to, you know, let them get their feet underneath them, get comfortable in what they're doing, and then just build on that. So I think Lorenzo Carter, you know, he showed a lot of intrigue to me as a pass rusher. And I think, you know, when you talk about where's that pass rush going to come from, I think he's definitely going to be able to provide it. Moving inside to the inside linebackers. Now, here's where there's probably a little bit more question mark. And actually, I will start with Alec Ogletree, who's going to be the three-down linebacker. He's going to be the quarterback of that defense. He was acquired, of course, in the trade with the Los Angeles Rams. I'm still not sure exactly why the Rams gave up on him. The only thing I can think of is because his numbers dipped and didn't match the salary he was getting. But, you know, I think Alec Ogletree, when I look at him, can still be a very productive and disruptive player.
You know, I like the Alec Ogletree trade, Patty, and I kind of look at it sort of the way that you look at Nate Solder on the offensive side of the ball. Maybe not a tremendous player. If you look at his Pro Football Focus numbers, they're not that impressive. If you look at some of his pass coverage statistics over the past couple of years, you know, you see some issues. You see some issues over the years with missed tackles. But for the Giants, for their needs, in terms of needing, you know, some veteran help inside, needing the skill set to play the 3-4, perhaps needing a guy who has some leadership skills, you know, some ability to call the defensive signals and line guys up, you know, help understand and organize the defense, I think Alec Ogletree is a nice fit. As I said, maybe not a Pro Bowl or All-Pro caliber player, but a guy who has a specific role and can really help this defense.
Yeah, and as I said, you know, when we talked about, you know, Nate Solder and a few other guys, it's nice if you have Pro Bowlers, but, you know, what you want is guys who are consistent, guys who are going to deliver the goods, fill their roles, and just contribute to the overall scheme and execution of it. And I think with Ogletree, you know, and his leadership and the fact that he's coming over from a Rams team that last year made the playoffs, I think these are all pluses he brings to the table. And, you know, he's just... He reminds me a little bit of John Beeson when John Beeson was here and healthy. Just plays with that same type of energy and electricity. And I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, Ogletree out there, you know, organizing everything, getting everybody lined up, and just really, you know, giving that defense a voice that I'm not so sure they've had, you know, since I guess you could go back to Beeson, you know, because they just really haven't had that voice, and I think he's going to bring it for sure. And let's look at B.J. Goodson, the other inside linebacker, projected starting inside linebacker. Goodson, when I look at him, you know, he's a complement to Ogletree in that he's more of the thumper. He's a guy who I think is going to be a two-down linebacker. He's going to be in on the running downs, maybe come off the field on the obvious passing downs. The thing that concerns me with Goodson, who I think, by the way, is very talented. I mean, you know, you think back to opening day last year when he racked up, I think it was 18 solo tackles against the Cowboys. Very impressive, you know, showing. But the thing that concerns me about him, and I think, you know, it's a legitimate concern based on how last year went, is his physical style of play and whether or not it's going to be so physical that he's not going to make it through a full season.
This episode of Locked On Giants is sponsored by Core Essentials. That's K-O-R-E. Core Essentials makes the best belt you will ever own. What makes the Core track belts so awesome? No belt holes. That's right. Instead, their belts use a hidden track in the back of the belt with more than 40 size points to choose from. Ever wonder why your pants slip and turn that waistline into a gut? Every day as you work, walk, eat, and play, your waist size fluctuates, in and out, just a little at a time. The Core track belt adjusts to match your waist exactly. Each point on the Core track belt is just a quarter inch apart. That simple, small innovation means you get a precise, steady, and comfortable fit every time you put it on. Removing or adjusting your track belt is simple. Pinch the small tab under the buckle. Core's patented design also makes it easy to remove the buckle or swap styles. Core Track Belt ships one size to fit every waist from 24 to 44 inches, with an XL belt that goes up to 54 inches. You adjust the size yourself using their easy guide. Core offers a full line of fashion belts, including classic double-stitched with full-grain leather, and smooth belts with no stitching, as well as gun belts for concealed carry. They also offer a stylish assortment of buckle faces made using solid stainless steel or high-grade zinc alloys. Core's men's belts carry a 30-day money-back guarantee and a full 1-year warranty against all defects, unusual wear, or breakage. So feel confident when you shop and know that you're covered. But trust me, you're going to love it and want to get rid of all of your other belts. Visit coreessentials.com to learn more and to get your own Core Track belt to see firsthand why it's the best belt you will ever own. Seriously, once you go Core Track, you'll never go back. And we've got a special offer just for our listeners. Save 10% off your order when you use our code LOCKEDON at checkout. That's Core with a K, coreessentials.com, and use the code LOCKEDON to save 10% off your order.
You know, Patty, that's, well, Patty, that's a legitimate point. I think he played seven games last year.
And the Giants did miss him.
You know, when he wasn't there, obviously, because they had...
They had committed to making him the defensive signal caller.
And you miss that voice, obviously, when he's the guy that you're counting on to provide it.
I think that perhaps sharing a lot of that with Alec Ogletree will be good for him because he's still a player.
I think he played only 13 or 14 snaps as a rookie.
So he's still a guy who hasn't played a lot of NFL football.
I'm anxious to see how he transitions to the 3-4, because coming out of college he was a 4-3 middle guy.
So this is a different defense for him, a different role.
I think he's a talented player.
But how he adjusts to the new scheme and what he's asked to do in that scheme is going to be something that I'm going to be interested in watching.
For sure.
And let's talk about the depth, which, when you look at question marks at the linebacker spot. Which was on the roster, the roster last year, but otherwise, the year on the prowess was.
And then you have Avery Armstrong, you know, this spring, unfortunately, wasn't able to work due to an undisclosed ailment. So you don't know which one hit from him. Then you go to the inside guys, guys who would be inside backers. You have Marc Kersley, who I always said are outside linebackers. Sometimes you're outside guys, you got to get them more time to develop. There were obviously some issues with coverage, making some reads and whatnot. But are you as concerned about the position as I am?
Maybe not as much outside Patty.
Because you have three guys to start. You have Vernon, Kareem Martin, and you have Lorenzo Carter.
And I think perhaps with some of the other guys you can mix and match a little bit on the outside.
Depending on whether Moss gets on the field.
And whoever else you have on the roster.
But I am concerned, especially since we've talked about BJ Goodson having missed so many games a year ago.
Where I am really concerned is in the middle.
Mark Herzlick is still a great story. He's still a terrific special teams player.
He's still a guy who it's hard to root against.
But the reality of it is Mark Herzlick is not really a very good NFL linebacker.
And I really don't want to see him on the field playing in the middle.
Calvin Munson is a real try-hard guy.
Kept on the roster last year mostly for special teams ability.
But really got exposed when he had to play a lot.
I mean, he's just not quick enough or fast enough to cover guys.
So I look at those two guys right now as the guys who look like the primary backups in the middle.
So you have to sit there with your fingers crossed and hope that your middle linebackers stay healthy.
Because for me, I just don't see either of those guys as a real viable backup in the middle, and I don't know what else the Giants have right now or where else they would go.
Yeah, that's certainly my opinion on that. I think if injuries were to hit the middle, knock on wood here, my guess is that they may look to the outside, especially if they don't see any viable answers currently on the roster.
I just don't know about you, but I see Bowman as a really good player, but I don't see that as realistic because he's a guy who's going to start. He's not backup depth.
And if you see BJ Goodson as a starting caliber linebacker, then you don't have a spot for Navarro Bowman.
You have a spot for a guy who's a Chase Blackburn type veteran backup inside linebacker.
You're not a guy who's used to being a star and being a signal caller and starter.
So for those of you out there who are looking at Bowman,
I don't see that as a realistic option.
I know they're pushing up against the cap. I don't know exactly what's happening with the NFLPA. I don't know exactly what's happening with the NFLPA. So I know they push up against the cap. I don't know exactly what's happening with the NFLPA. NFLPA, 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 NFLP linebacker jump in and contribute on it.
No, I think we've pretty much covered it. I just think it's exciting, it's new, it's fresh.
It's interesting to be able to talk about a group that the Giants have spent some significant resources on rebuilding.
Yes, the linebackers are back, baby. So stay tuned. We'll bring you all the highlights, the observations, training camp starts in less than a week, folks. So as always, thank you for listening, and I will be back to you to preview the positions leading up to the start of camp. Thanks, and have a good day.